good morning. All right. It's good to see you this morning. I don't know if you know this, but this is not only Memorial Day weekend, which we, you know, in which we honor those that have given their lives for this country, but are you getting ready to shout?
Yeah.
All right. Now you really need to shout when I tell you what day this is, okay? No, I mean that. You really need to shout, okay? It's Pentecost Sunday. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. 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 So because of that, and that is we are celebrating the coming or the gifting or the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So because of that, we're going to take a break from our current series, and we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit. Is that okay with you?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So the title for today's message is, are you ready? Just Like Jesus. Oh, don't get so excited. Say it with me. Just like Jesus. All right, say, I want to be just like Jesus. All right, that's not too bad. All right. So let's get started this morning with our Bible declaration. I know you've just sat down, but I take great pleasure in saying, stand with me, please. All right. Take your Bible and hold it up towards heaven. And say this with me. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I'll boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I'll never be the same. I believe it and I receive it. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. You can be seated. If you didn't know it was Pentecost Sunday, shame on you, because I didn't know till this morning, okay? Anyway, I just wrote this morning. Anyway, okay. I want to start with a few questions for everybody, okay? Has there ever been a time when you suddenly sense the Holy Spirit leading you to stop doing what you were doing so he could use you to do something different than what you had planned?
Yes.
All right. Did you follow that leading of the Holy Spirit? Or did you stick with your predetermined planned program because you didn't want to interrupt your schedule? You know, too many times we do that. Amen? So then, if the answer to that was yes or no, let's say you didn't listen to the Spirit, is there a reason why you resisted when you sensed the Holy Spirit was trying to redirect your steps? Sometimes we do that because we don't have the boldness to do what he asks us to do. But what's really funny is he prepares the ground. If he's going to tell us to do it, the person is ready to receive it. Come on. Amen. Amen. So I'm going to encourage you this morning, if the Holy Spirit speaks to you and tells you to do something, you got to know that it's already set up beforehand. Amen? Amen. Let's turn together to Matthew 9:27. Matthew 9:27. Is there a reason why we're so quiet this morning?
It's raining.
It's raining. There you go. There's air outside, you know. It's light out. All right, here we go. But you know, like Gary said in prayer this morning, it doesn't matter how dark it is outside. Come on, you know. It's light inside of our hearts, okay? Matthew 9:27-30. Excuse me. When Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying out and saying, Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he had come into the house, the blind men came to him and said to them, No, I didn't get that right. And when he had come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, Do you believe that I am able to do this? They said to him, Yes, Lord. Then he touched their eyes, saying, According to your faith, let it be unto you. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus sternly warned them, saying, See that no one knows it. Gary Timmer, could you come up and pray for the message, please?
I'm all out of the whack. This. And then I picked this microphone up, and I tried to turn it on like you would turn this one on. All right, let's pray. Thank you, Lord. God, I thank you that we can just gather here in your presence, Lord, gather as your people. Father, I do thank you that it's Pentecost Sunday, God, and what it represents, Lord. And as Pastor West teaches us today, God, I hope that we just grasp it, Lord. Father, we know that you are a God that changes not, Lord. You don't change. And Father, let today be Pentecost Sunday for us. Father, let your power and your presence just flow in this place, God. Let it flow through each one of us, Lord, to change our lives, to change the world around us.
Thank you, Lord.
God, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for your power. We thank you for your presence. Have your way in each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Gary. Thank you. You know, I believe it's probably the heart of every Christian to be led by the Spirit, amen? To be wanting you to do the things and be right in the dead center of God's will for your life. So it may be hard for you to believe, but the truth is, most of what you and I have done in our Christian life has been initiated by us. Amen. And not by the Spirit of God. And I'm not being critical. I'm just stating a fact that sometimes, not all the time, all right, but sometimes we act before we ask. Amen? We act before we ask. Are you with me? What happens is this. You know, after we get the ball rolling, after we get started and we've already begun doing our thing, then that's usually when we pray and we ask God to bless what we're doing. We just sort of assume, all right, that what we're doing is His will because it seems like such a good idea. Amen? Amen. It's no wonder that we have a less than perfect record, if you will, or results when we minister, at least, I should say, some of the time. What I mean is this. How many of you believe that Jesus delivers people? Amen. And He sets them free? And He just plain changes people, correct? Amen? And let's say you prayed for someone to be delivered and set free, but nothing happens. The person still lives a life of addiction and bondage. There's just no change. Has that ever happened to anybody here? I know it's happened to me. Okay. What you and I need to learn is just kind of put the brakes on, okay, and stop and learn how to wait until the Holy Spirit speaks clearly to our hearts, just like Jesus did. Amen. Say that. Just like Jesus did. Does that make sense to you this morning? There's a couple people over here. But, and I've said it before, we as believers need to learn to allow the Holy Spirit to lead us in everything, say everything, but especially to lead us when to pray for people, saved or unsaved. Let's take healing, for example, when we pray for healing. I just wonder, and this happens a lot, like it seems like at the beginning of your walk with Jesus, okay? Have you ever thought or even said, I'm going to pray for every single person that I see from now on that's sick. Ain't nobody going to get out away from me. I'm just going to pray for them. But when you pray for that sick person, and you do it with all kinds of faith, you know what? You pray for them, and they're still sick when you're done. And you leave feeling kind of embarrassed, don't you? And maybe you feel defeated, and really, you know, you're somewhat confused. Why didn't Jesus heal that person? I mean, didn't God want those people to be healed? Well, of course He did. And I believe that. Because there's too many places in the Scripture that says, and Jesus healed all of them. Amen? How many? All of them. So I believe that He did want those people healed. But I also believe that possibly, just maybe, that the healing anointing may not have been present at that exact moment to heal those people that you prayed for. Are you with me? Being sensitive to the Holy Spirit is so important. It is. It is. And if we want to see successful results in any area of our lives, including praying for healing, giving words of wisdom, giving words of knowledge, or just prayer in general, if we want to see that answered, only the Holy Spirit, say only the Holy Spirit, sees and knows the timing of everything that should be done. And that's why it's so important to learn how to follow his leadership if we want a successful ministry. Amen? Amen. I hope you're getting this. I think a very classic example of being led by the Spirit can be seen in the account of the two blind beggars in Matthew 9, 27 through 31 that we just read. You know, there was these two blind beggars that had heard that Jesus was walking by. They had to hear it because they couldn't see it. Come on. All right. So they were expecting Jesus to stop and heal them, right? That's what Jesus does. That's what he always does. He just heals the people that he runs into. But guess what Jesus did? He walked right on past them. You ever feel like Jesus maybe walked right on past you? All right. He walked right on past them without so much as acknowledging them. In fact, it almost seemed like he was ignoring them. These two blind beggars were so upset that Jesus walked past them. In Matthew 9:27, it says this: when Jesus departed from there, two blind men, what's the next word? They what? How? They followed him. They were blind. So how did they follow him? I mean, now think about it. That's not a very easy thing to do. Okay? Well, maybe they followed the noise of the people talking. Well, maybe somebody was talking over here and they went the wrong way. You know, it's not an easy thing to do to follow somebody when you're blind. The word followed is a Greek word which means to follow after someone or something in a very determined and purposeful manner. And that's what these two blind beggars were doing. They were serious about receiving their healing. And even though they were blind and couldn't see where they were going, they were determined to follow Jesus until they had gotten his attention and received their healing. The verse continues to tell us that they were crying out, okay? This is what they were doing. The word crying is the Greek word kradzo, and it means to scream. Now just picture this. It means to scream and yell and to exclaim or cry at the top of your lungs. In other words, they were screaming as loudly as possible to get Jesus' attention. I mean, there's no way that he didn't hear them. There's no way. Think about it. These two blind guys, desperately wanting to be healed, were screaming, shouting, yelling, trying to get Jesus to notice them, but he just keeps on walking as though they weren't even there. So, pursuing Jesus relentlessly, they groped along in their darkness still. Now picture this again. Still screaming and yelling and crying out for him to heal them. Understand something. Jesus couldn't have missed this. All right? Jesus could not have missed these two blind beggars because they were yelling so loudly, but he still didn't stop and heal them. So they just kept screaming, okay? Again, at the top of their lungs, over and over again. Imagine this, having these people walk behind you saying, "Have mercy on us! Have mercy on us! Have mercy on us! Have mercy on us! Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us!" And they kept doing that, and they didn't just do it, "Hey, have mercy." They did it, "Hey, have mercy!" You know? They were trying to get his attention. So why do you suppose that Jesus wouldn't acknowledge the two blind beggars? Why didn't he just immediately turn around and heal them? It would have been a simple thing for him to do. He could have spit on the ground, right? Right? He, you know, rubbed their eyes. He could have just said, "Be seeing," and they would be seeing. But it didn't happen. Finally, Jesus turned to the two beggars, and he asked something that seems kind of weird. After who knows how long, maybe it was a mile, a half mile, I don't know, of screaming and yelling at the top of their lungs, Jesus asks them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" Sometimes the Bible's kind of funny if you really look at it, you know. And they answer just simply, "Yes, Lord, yes, I believe it." Matthew 9:29 says, "According to your faith, let it be to you." You know, there's been a lot of teachings on this. And a lot of teachings have said if you don't have enough faith, you can't be healed. But I happen to remember people in the Bible who didn't even know who Jesus was. Exactly. And Jesus healed them. Exactly. So I have a problem believing that, well, maybe my faith isn't good enough. I believe that Jesus, when the two blind beggars asked him to heal them, I believe he knew that the anointing for healing, say the anointing for healing, at that moment wasn't there. Otherwise, I believe he would have stopped and laid his hands on them. But this didn't stop those two blind men from receiving the healing that they came for. It was as though Jesus was saying to them, you know, I don't sense the anointing to heal you right now. It's just not here. So you're going to have to receive this on your own. And he said, be it unto you according to your faith. Why was it according to their faith? I don't know, but I do know this much. God is a gracious God, and he answers prayer when people are desperate. Amen? And these two blind beggars, they were in desperation. They wanted their healing. I mean, I can't imagine what it would be like to go around every day not being able to see anything. I mean, we can equate that to the spiritual fact that, you know, at one time we were blind too, but this is actual blindness. You know, they couldn't see anything. In fact, I have heard that a blind person doesn't even see darkness. He sees nothing. Okay, just nothing. There's no way to sense that there's anything going on with their eyes. But the only explanation for the fact that Jesus didn't stop right there to heal those two blind beggars is that the Holy Spirit wasn't leading him to heal at that exact moment. As for those who the Holy Spirit led Jesus to heal, you know what? He healed them with a perfect 100% success rate. Amen? He healed them all. You know, if you were sick in those days and you heard about Jesus coming to your town and you wanted to get well, you know what? You went and saw Jesus and you knew as you knew as you knew, you'd come back doing fine. Amen? He would heal you. And I believe that now too. But now, the Bible describes his healing ministry this way in Luke 6:19. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for power went out from him and healed them all. All. You see, when healing virtue was flowing, everyone got healed. Everyone got healed. But when it wasn't flowing, Jesus didn't attempt to heal. You know, you can say, well, Wes, Pastor Wes, Reverend Wes, Wesley. He was God. Come on. He was God. But we have to remember that Jesus was a spirit-filled what? Man. A spirit-filled man, ministering out of that Holy Spirit infilling. Remember, he emptied himself of his God attributes, and he became what? A man. And that's what he was in the wilderness. He was a man when he was tempted. That's what he was when he was healing. He was a man. Okay? Was he God? Yes, but he didn't have the attributes of God because he set those aside. There are other instances like Luke 5:17 where Jesus was busy teaching the word of God and suddenly, say suddenly, he sensed that the power of the Lord was present to heal somebody. Let me read that scripture to you. Luke 5:17. Now it happened on a certain day as he was teaching that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Do you understand why I'm saying this? Because at this particular instance, it says this, the power of the Lord was present to heal them. If the power of the Lord could be present to heal them, the power of the Lord could not be present to heal them. When Jesus sensed the anointing to heal, he put aside his preconceived plan of teaching and followed the leading of the Holy Spirit. And would to God, every morning we pray, you know, God, no matter what, we've got everything laid out that we're going to do. We usually say this when we pray. We've got everything laid out that we're going to do. But Lord, speak loudly so we can hear you. Because the thing that we want the most is to follow your Holy Spirit. That's why sometimes I'll get up here with a sermon ready. You might think I don't have a sermon ready, but I do have a sermon ready. But I won't preach that sermon. I'll preach something else completely. Okay? That's because I want more than anything to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. It doesn't mean that the message I had was bad. It's just that I don't know if he's testing my faith. I don't know what he's testing my obedience. But I can't go on preaching a message that I've put together so meticulously if it isn't what he's going to bless. Amen? And we should really look at our lives in the same way. I can't go on doing this unless this is something that God will bless. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. But anyway, he put aside his preconceived plan of teaching. And as a result, multitudes were healed that day, including this paralyzed man that a group of friends lowered down through an opening in the roof of a house. Amen. I love this example in Luke 5:17 because it shows Jesus' dependence on the will of the Holy Spirit. Even when he was busy teaching, okay? Now, I think that probably the teaching that Jesus would be doing would be pretty beneficial, amen? But he stopped. He stopped. At that moment, he suddenly felt the anointing shift. It just shifted. Just things changed. And the power of God was suddenly present to heal the sick. And Jesus knew it was time to set aside the pre-planned program and go with the flow of the Holy Spirit. Would to God we would always go with the flow of the Holy Spirit. Would to God that we would always allow the Holy Spirit to flow in our services. I mean, you know, sometimes when you come to church, you know what? The day might not be for you, but it's for somebody. Amen. The message that you hear may not be for you, but you're here to pray that somebody here would get the message that's being spoke. Because God doesn't care if there's 500 people. If he wants to speak to one person, he's going to do it. Amen? He's going to do it. Anyway, he faithfully followed wherever the Holy Spirit would lead him. And he did what the Holy Spirit told him to do. If the Spirit told him nothing, then nothing is what he did. Okay? If the Spirit told him healing, then healing is what he did. If the Spirit told him teach, then teaching is what he did. It's really simple. It's really simple. In John 5:30, Jesus told about how he was completely dependent on the Holy Spirit. He told his disciples in John 5:30, I can of myself do nothing.
Amen.
Wow. Jesus said this. Okay? I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. It's just amazing. Because once Jesus knew the will of the Father, he laid everything else aside. Even his own ideas. Because if he was a man, which I believe he was, then he had some ideas on how to do some things. Amen? He even had experience on how to do some things. But once he knew the will of the Father, and once he had all the information he needed, then he acted. And not before. Amen? Not before. And because he acted on directions given by the Spirit of God, he was able to say that his actions were always right. Okay, now I can ask this question. Are your actions always right? I'm going to tell you something. If you want your actions to always be right, then always ask the Holy Spirit. Amen? Just take a moment. Just take a second. And just say, Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do? What is your plans? Jesus had a 100% success rate. Why? Because he followed the Holy Spirit's leading. Jesus didn't go with the pre-planned program or act mechanically every time he was confronted with a need. You can see that with the different ways that he healed somebody. He would speak a word, he would spit on the ground and rub it on their eyes. He'd lick his finger and touch somebody's tongue. He did it. But he was obedient. He wasn't mechanical. Amen? And I don't know about you, but I think it would be a good thing if we learned from his example. Amen? And depended on the leading of the Holy Spirit just as he did. Say, just as Jesus did. One more time. Just like Jesus. Just like Jesus. If we will listen to the Holy Ghost, excuse me, King James coming out. If we would listen to the Holy Spirit, okay, and then do what he tells us to do, if we can learn to wait until we hear him speak, we'll have powerful results. Amen? Why? Because we would be just like Jesus. Say it with me. Just like Jesus. Amen. Amen. That's all I got. You know, we especially, as a Pentecostal people, ought to be happy about today. I mean, we get to celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit that empowers us, that informs us, that leads us, that causes any ministry that we would do to be successful. Amen? Amen. Amen. I have a declaration for you guys this morning. So why don't you stand with me? And we will do this declaration. Afterwards, we are going to do BGMC. Okay? So don't run off. All right? All right. And we're also going to have communion. I can't think of anything else to do. Can you? Okay. Now, I'm going to say it, then you're going to say it. All right? I declare that I am completely dependent upon the Holy Spirit. Just as Jesus was constantly listening to the voice of the Spirit. I declare I am also sensitive to waiting for the Holy Spirit. Voice and waiting for him to speak to my heart. I declare, when he speaks, I hear. Then I do exactly what he instructs me to do, because I follow his voice. A little bit more. Just like Jesus.
Just like
Jesus. I declare this by faith in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Give the Lord a hand this morning. This is Pentecost Sunday. He sent the Holy Spirit, and we're going to celebrate that today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You can be seated.